All right, welcome to Volume 7, Episode 4 of the Toddcast. I am John. I am with
TJ
and
Bo.
Awesome. Good to see you guys. Hanging out in the very cloisterly room of the back of Ohio Valley.
Yeah, sorry I missed the last one. I had to go do some retail therapy, so.
No, it's all good. it's always good to have everybody here. So, we have just a few. We really don't have a lot of events coming up. This weekend we got the 4th of July cookout and geek flea market up in Cranberry. The weekend after that is not at Comic-Con Day at all locations. Get 10% off when you wear a cape. And then we have a small mini-con at Fun for All in Cranberry on the 26th. It's a Friday night from 6 to 11. It's going to be a good time. Got a couple really cool little vendors coming. If you're interested in vending, check out our website, and it's in the scroll bar at the beginning, and you're good to go. Other than that, I just want to give a quick shout-out for Youngstown Comic-Con's coming up this weekend. They're a bunch of great guys. They put on a great show. The guys at All American put that together. Greg's a great guy. You can meet Jim Steranko and Kevin Smith and the guys from Comic Book Men are going to be there. So.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. There's like a dinner with Kevin Smith, and you can buy dinner with Steranko. You get two things signed. And
Kevin Smith doesn't eat anymore, like 2 hours. I don't think. You see that guy, how skinny he is?
Yeah,
now?
I know, right? It's crazy. He lost like a whole me. So, all right, we'll talk about some books. I'm going to go first since I have two. You guys each have one. We're all kind of behind a bit. So my first book is Militia Number 1 from Black Box Comics. So this is by Chuck Dixon and Jethro Morales.
Yeah.
So Chuck Dixon, known for a lot of military-style stuff, G.I. Joe, like a bunch of other cool stuff.
Batman stuff was always real good too.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote Nightwing for a long time. So this book is kind of cool. It starts out where like 40 girls in Africa get abducted, and the government asks America to step in. So you have like pretty much like a bunch of IT people working it out to make sure they get there, and they're talking about how they failed parts of basic training. Or not basic training, but like other like ranger training or something. And so they find most of the girls, and they sent like this black ops team in to recover them. They get most of the girls back, and when it's over, there's some of the girls are like scattered in the jungle, right? And the one girl who's the head IT person, she's like, maybe you should not send dudes with rifles in to find these girls, because they were just abducted by dudes with rifles, and then they watched all those dudes with rifles get killed by dudes with rifles, and so they decide to send her in at the end, and that's where like the first issue kind of ends. I thought it was really well written. The art's really, really good. I believe this is a 4 or 5 part mini, I've known about this book for like 3 years, and like as soon as Black Box became a thing, you know, I've gotten to know like Scott and Dimitri a lot, like really well, and they knew how much I love Chuck Dixon, and like when they originally announced this, it was like 2 years, like almost 3 years ago. And but then they did the big push for it because they didn't have, I think they had the Chuck, but they didn't have like the right or the artist on it, or they were missing like a colorist or something. Like there was some kind of weirdness that it took forever to come out. But I really liked it. I'm not usually a big military book guy, but I really enjoyed the hell out of this book. So check it out. It's Militia Number 1 from Black Box Comics at your local New Dimension Comics.
All right, who wants to go next? Let me go. I'll go. All right, I'm going to do a book that came out last week, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 40. This is the big first appearance of the White Ranger and all that stuff. The last, where it picks up after Shattered Grid, which happened, which was the story before the last one. So you could have missed the entire
last storyline.
You could have missed the entire arc from Shattered Grid until now, which I did.
Right.
I was,
it's like a whole year.
Yeah. Well, 6 months maybe. Yeah. Because I was off the book once Kyle Higgins quit writing it. Mm. So, but then I saw this was coming out, and it's called Necessary Evil, and it picks up, it like time jumps to like after
exactly
Shattered Grid, like
needs,
yeah, where it's at now, and you don't even need to know any of this other stuff that happened in between. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like I didn't miss anything, which is exactly what I wanted.
Great jumping on point.
Yep. So. Well, we have a little some differences here. Tommy's back, but he's the White Ranger now. No more Green Ranger. And you have I remember in the TV show they got rid of the Red, the Black, and the Yellow Rangers, saying that they went to a peace conference or something like that because the actors didn't want to play the parts anymore.
Right, right, right.
So they basically did the same thing in this book, and they replaced it with the Rocky. Aisha and Adam as
That's
the new
awesome.
Rangers. There's a twist to it. I'll get to that. so, yeah, this is all set up. This book is all set up. It sets up the new status quo. You got Tommy's the leader now.
Mm-hmm.
You got the new Rangers. They're
so basically like post movie line.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then like you got the new Rangers, they're rookies, they're trying to learn their stuff. Lord Zedd, main villain now, not Rita.
Oh,
so
nice.
You got that, that's new, which is cool because I always thought he looked really awesome in the show.
Yeah.
He was, they just like found a costume for that and made that up for the American show that wasn't part of the original
mm-hmm.
Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. The costume was awesome. I wonder what it was originally made for.
Well, it was too early to be Resident Evil, because that's what I was thinking would be for. But
it's crazy, bunch of muscles with an exoskeleton on it. Yeah, it's
yeah.
great. But anyway, back to the book. Basically, it all sets it up. They fight a monster. You get to see the display of Tommy's new powers and stuff. He doesn't bust out the Tiger Zord yet, so that's later. And at the very end of it. They're talking to the three that went off to the peace conference, right?
Oh, okay.
You see them on a phone, and they're just talking to them. But when it cuts to them on the other side of the phone, they're all wearing Ranger suits still. So they're not at a peace conference. They're out doing some weird, like, Black Ops mission.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Damn.
So they definitely took that in another direction. My thing with this is... if you watch the show, which I did when I was younger, Jason, the Red Ranger, comes back.
Yeah.
The other two do not.
Right.
So.
Do we feel that those two are going to die somehow?
That's what I'm thinking.
Huh.
So that's why I'm super interested in that.
Right. Yeah, because he comes back as the Green Ranger, right?
He comes back as the Black Ranger. Gold Ranger. He has it's a black suit with a like the gold shoulder pads.
I thought he came
like
back
that.
As the Green Ranger first.
Mm-mm. Because he drives that giant pyramid thing that turns into a robot when he came back.
Because I thought he was
and he had
Green Ranger for a while, and then he was the Red Ranger with the Green Ranger shield thing, and then he was the Black Ranger with the gold. All right.
Nope. I watched Power Rangers. That was like my
okay.
thing.
Okay. I think that's kind of where I started getting out of it. So
yeah, that was that's pretty much what that whole book is. It's setting up a new story. This is their big story, kind of like Shattered Grid was last year for this year. The person writing it, Ryan Parrott, he does the Go-Go book also, Go-Go Power
good.
Rangers book.
Yeah.
So yeah, I dig it. I mean, it's not quite Kyle Higgins, but I like it.
Cool.
You can pick this up, hopefully, unless it's sold out. New Dimension Comics, there are a plethora of covers for it. The one sitting right in front of me now is the White Ranger foil cover, which, if I remember correctly, it sounded like for the next at least six books of this series, of this story, they're going to do one of these for every color.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There's plenty of other covers. There's the one that looks like an old style, like Marvel card and things like that. And, but definitely check this out. It was a good read. Even if you're just kind of like a casual fan of Power Rangers and you haven't really read any of the other stuff, the comic's good. It's not cheesy like the show.
Right.
It's serious. It takes itself seriously.
Well, I mean, Shattered Grid was pretty dark.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just really good, and that's definitely awesome. Pick that up.
Cool.
All right, Bo, on to you.
Bo's got a big, big book.
I did not choose a comic for this week. Wasn't really anything that I was like, man, I got to read this or want to review it and whatnot. So what I've been starting to do is I've really been getting into the 2000 AD stuff, and that is Judge Dredd, Judge Death, things of that effect, stuff that's coming from England. So,
because you are the law,
it is.
I am the law.
I have been absolutely enamored with this stuff lately. The book that I read and it really stuck with me thus far because it had a mix of aliens / Judge Dredd in a way, but wrote by John Wagner, Greg Staples, who is a absolutely fantastic artist who I never heard of before until I started reading this stuff. But it's Judge Dredd, Dark Justice. These are fairly cheap to pick up, too. Nice, long trade paperbacks because obviously they come in the single issue, the 2000 AD prog, you know, magazines, which are like $13 a pop.
Yeah, those are not cheap.
They are not cheap. Cool, but they are definitely not cheap. So you get these hardcover trades that come in. You can get them for $20 to $24. And you got the whole story if you just want to wait for it. So, this was the newest one that came out. Basically, this is one of the many times down the road where, you know, Judge Dredd has fought off the brothers, Judge Death, Fire, Phobia, and Mortis, and they're making another big play to come back. But in this, the billionaires, trillionaires of Mega City 1 have had enough of how the city is becoming. So they decide to take off in a ship and find another, you know, solar system to live in. It's all plush. Everything goes well for them. Then the judges, which in their spirit form at the moment, that's how they was acquired and got on
there.
The judge
who laughs.
They start. It is a judge. This is who, yeah.
They definitely based
they
that off
called
of that.
Yeah. Off Judge Death. Judge Death was first.
Oh, yeah.
Still
yeah.
much more sickening, honestly, in my opinion.
The judges who laugh.
But where was I at there now?
Sorry.
But he, you know, they find themselves human hosts and
right.
kind of get themselves all geared up.
They kind of possess them.
Yeah, they do. Okay. They constantly just float from body to body as soon as they can, and
that's cool.
They proceed to just kill everyone on the whole station. Like some 10 million people is on this ship, in very group graphic affair. So eventually Dredd and Hershey find out that, you know, something was going on, that the ship, you know, something was going on with the ship, that they knew that's where they were. So
right.
they went to obviously save the day. And whenever you're fighting Judge Death and the other, and, you know, and these brothers, you never quite win. You just have to make sacrifices and that'll do.
Try to mitigate the damage a little bit.
Yes. So there's basically able, you know, fight throughout the ship. Whatnot.
Art is fantastic, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, definitely
art is.
Is.
I mean, just look at Morris
yeah.
there.
Like the detail. It's like it's almost
it's
more
wonderful.
Like painting.
It's absolutely wonderful, and I've just got like intrigued by all this lately. So I'm recommending it to people. Stuff many people yeah. haven't read, and it's been around for a long time.
It reminds me of Jusco.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So they finally, you know, battle. You know, you have your standoff between Judge Death and Judge Dredd. Dredd knocks his teeth out, of course, because only Judge Dredd could. They continue to fight, and basically Dredd and the survivors are able to, you know, encapsulate themselves into, like, a spot where they could break off the ship, you know, destroying the other parts of the mm-hmm. ship. They do this while...
That's awesome.
Dredd is numerous times was trying to get, you know... possessed by Judge Fire in that case. They're able to get away, true. So they survived, you know, don't know how they're going to get back at this point in time. Just seeing how things are going to turn out.
That's, that picture is great where you can see like his teeth and all that. Where's it at? You flip by it. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
That's a lot of detail. That's nice.
Yeah.
No helmet removal.
Big tank, big thing. No helmet removal. But like I said, they're able to quarantine themselves, get away from them, purge the ship. Left the four brothers, the four death judges on the ship. But well, even when they left, they come floating out, and they'll eventually make it back.
They'll be back. They always come back.
Eventually make it back. And the one other one that I was hoping to talk about. Was the death of Dead World, which is no Judge Dredd, just tells the whole story about how Dead World, how their world became into it.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
One of the most brutal comics I have ever wrote.
That's awesome.
It's just part one. Highly recommend. Pick them up. $20-$25 for hardbacks.
That's not bad
and,
at all.
And if you want yourself some cool Judge Dredd stories, stay away from IDW. Do the 2000 AD where you actually came from. So something a little bit different, not everyday typical comics, but
Diamond has these in print and you can order them.
Most definitely do.
And they will probably be on the recommended reading rack out here in Ohio.
one is. The other one I have not been, it hasn't been reordered yet since I bought it. So, but definitely something cool and different to look at. They are a few years old, but the artwork and everything like that just, if you like some morbid action.
Now, see, they have all of this this stuff to go, all this, you know, the stories and things to go from. They should really make more movies about this. I'd like to see Judge Death in a movie. Got to keep Carl Urban as Dredd, though. 100%. That was awesome. Yeah. He didn't take the helmet off.
I thought that movie was just really well written in general.
I've watched that movie. Yeah, more times than I care to admit. Really, it's a great movie, man.
It was Mega City One. It was Judge Dredd. It was everything.
The IDW stuff's not awful, but it's definitely
not as cheesy.
I think it's more Americanized, in my opinion. Like it's more cheesy because that's what we like to read.
I don't know though. Like, ask Bo here. Like, you read that and then you read this. He's American.
No. I meant like for the general, like in for the general public. Like, we as Americans like a lot of stuff that is more easy to absorb. Okay, does that make sense?
The most
like,
recent,
even if you watch like British TV, it's a lot more in depth and involved.
Well, also a lot of their jokes and stuff fly right over your head.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
but they did start doing what 2000 AD did start doing this with Final Judgment, that they brought out into two pieces without doing it in the, you know, in a hardback.
They made it in
magazine.
Traditional comic book size.
And I'll be damned if they were sold out, hard to find, couldn't get.
Yep.
And it was just a two-parter.
And you could only get one.
And obviously, everybody loved it. Well, I got Judge Dredd Toxic and City Limits and the other ones, they sit on the shelf. But they brought out those two parts.
Yeah.
You couldn't find the F's anywhere.
No, I had to actually download that to read the damn thing. So.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. Like, I have a lot of friends who are into Judge Dredd, both the 2001 AD and the IDW stuff. And Ryan at the Mills actually likes Judge Dredd a lot. But every time he brings it up, all I think about is the Anthrax "I Am the Law" song. So all right. That was really good, Bo. One of the last books we'll talk about today is Doomsday Clock number 10. So while this book is consistently, holy crap, when are you coming out so that you can come out?
Yeah, I gave up on that.
This book,
long ago.
This issue, to me, made up for that. Holy crap, did it make up for that in my mind?
100%.
Still waiting for that trade. I'll wait a little longer.
So in very true Watchmen form, you get your issue about Dr. Manhattan where he's kind of all about his non-linear timeline or his linear timeline where you just keep seeing it all at once and you keep bouncing back and forth. But the thing that this book does that I found to be just amazing.
They showed Dr. Manhattan's Wang?
No.
they
show Dr. Manhattan experiencing the reboots of DC Comics.
That's cool.
So, like, you start out, there's 1938, there's a Superman, he picks up the car, and then there's not one, and then there's, like, the Justice Society shows up, and then there's a Superman, and then they're waiting for Superman. And then there's the 86 redo, or the 56 one, and then the 80s one, and then... like the new 52 one even shows up in here, and they even do like the Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes is touched on, and you just keep hopping back and forth and seeing all these different Supermen, and then like the two different new 52 Supermen are actually in here. You have like the George Perez one, and you have the one that was the Grant Morrison shirt and jeans one, and then they show Wally disappearing into the Speed Force right there, and
Kid Flash outfit and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. It all revolves around like the lifetime of this friend of his that he met, and then it at the end he basically says like, Superman is here. Where's Superman? Because to this universe of hope, I have become the villain. So Dr. Manhattan is actually the villain of the book.
Oh, good luck, Superman.
Right? I was like, holy crap, that's really cool. So, all right, that's all the books we're doing today, but I'm going to just do some real quick highlights of this week's releases, and then we'll talk about a book that's releasing this week that we can talk about even more in depth next time. So we had Adventures of Super Sentai 12... Batgirl 36, Black Hammer Age of Doom. I've actually had a lot of people talk about that. Buffy, that's been pretty good. Deceased, pretty good. Dead Man Logan, Fantastic Four Prodigal Son started this week. Green Lantern, the Joker Black Label trade came out.
That's it's a Azzarello, it's his Joker book.
It's just his Joker book updated, I think.
Did they add any more content to it?
No, it's got a little bit different cover.
The
cover's sick. Yeah.
The cover looked like a really warped Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah, that's why I was like, the cover's really sick.
So it's just the same story. They slap Black Label on it. Nah.
Old Man Quill, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Sea of Stars number one, Speculator commemorative edition of Walking Dead 192. That is the cover with the Rick Grimes on the front.
Good Lord.
And let's see, anything else super fun? Voracious, that's kind of cool. Beatable Squirrel Girl, Uncanny X-Men. A couple other good stuff too. So the big book was Walking Dead 192. Or 193.
193.
Sorry, 193. Okay. So, for those of you who live under a rock and don't either A, have television or social media, or B, don't live, breathe comic books, the big thing that happened in 192 was Rick Grimes died, right? And this is 193, which is the follow-up to that. And the 192 ends with them all, like everybody, going to his funeral, right? So I have not read 193 yet, but the big thing is that it is the last issue of Walking Dead ever.
Which is really weird. I did not...
Maybe.
Oh, you don't think it is?
I still think it's a maybe. Image isn't known for those hiatuses. And I still think... they'll throw you another curveball 6-7 years down the road, and they'll continue on with something.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, if Kirkman comes up with another part of a story that he wants to tell, he can go right back into it if he wanted to. He doesn't even have to, like, keep going from where it ends.
If he just stopped it like this and, you know, I hated the TV show, and his last so many issues were garbage to me. So,
man,
I thought the first... 3 seasons were okay of the show, but I haven't really watched it since then, which really bums me out because I really liked like Ezekiel and the Tiger.
Yeah, there's so many loose ends to be tied up. Negan, in particular, he could have carried that series way before Red could have.
And that's you what you thought was going to happen, too, it's right?
It was a squandered opportunity, and maybe they'll come out with a little sub-series, you know, something starting new, whatnot. But if Kirkman just drops this, doesn't fill in anything, I mean, he went from one of my favorite writers to just some dude.
Yeah,
it's very, rough. It sucks because I followed it from the very beginning, wholeheartedly.
Did he give you that like last episode of or last season of Game of Thrones disappointment ending to it?
I don't know. I'll read the book tonight. I want to read his bullshit letter.
His explanation?
Yeah, because I've refused. Read it myself.
There's like a letter
yet.
In the letters page where he explains that this is the last issue.
See what we can find. And
yeah. Well, he did some other kind of like actual news thing where he said that yes, this is real. This is the end of it.
I mean, it's cool, but
I honestly think the letter at the end is probably what will save him in the eyes of some fans. You know,
fans of the comic or fans of the show.
Well, here's the other
comic.
Thing.
Completely two
so,
different people.
Comic.
So here's the other thing. So, well, two more things. One, so the show once Rick left the show, like the ratings really died. No pun intended.
People expected that here with the comic too.
Right.
The sales, I think, were starting to diminish.
Right.
Long before
until
that.
Until recently, sales were. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing is, so this issue rounds off the amount of issues because it's a prestige issue. It's basically a double issue. Rounds off the amount of books they need to complete the third compendium, or fourth compendium. Fourth compendium.
It's got to be fourth at least
compendium.
Four.
Yeah. This would complete the fourth compendium because you need it's every 48 issues. So this would complete the last one. So basically he would have to think about, do I want to end up here or do I want to end in another 48 issues?
Why does it have to go with the compendiums? Like,
well, I'm just saying, like, I think that was one of the things that I bet you that's one of the things the publisher talked to him about because people love the compendium version. They love to just binge that giant book, right? So,
I guess, yeah.
So on the publisher end, they're going, well, you can either end it on this book or you can end it 48 issues after that. And maybe the story he wanted to tell originally ended up somewhere in the middle and he had to kind of compensate. I don't know. Or maybe he drug it out to hit to this point because he actually wanted to end it beforehand. We'll really never know because
I remember in the beginning he said it was going to run 300 issues.
Yeah,
and he said he had the end, and he had the, you know, he has the beginning and he has definitely has the definitive end to the story,
right?
And you know he's going to write the in between,
right? So he's just going to write 107 issues of some other random book and call it Walking Dead.
So this was 190 issues with three of the craziest issues just thrown into one, like half-assed. Like, it was weird.
It was his ending just, so like, dropped in there.
Yeah, like, just boop, drop it in there.
Yeah.
So many unresolved issues around, like, and you just boop, drop that in there.
Hmm.
Like, what?
Maybe
Game of Thrones made more sense.
Maybe he was just tired of trying to come up with that much content.
Yeah.
Now he's got to focus on Die, Die, Die. That's a masterpiece, I'm sure.
An Oblivion
loves.
Song.
Yeah, that masterpiece is Robert. Man.
Maybe he's just running himself too thin. I don't know.
You might want to take a break, too, and then restart. Take the hiatus like Saga did. Go work out for Saga. Take that hiatus, Rob. Sure. Damn.
I don't know, man. Everybody always says, oh, this is Rick's story. I always felt it was more Carl's story. From my perspective, when I was reading it,
did you flip through the last issue at all?
No.
Okay, I'm not gonna say anything.
But I read 192. I didn't read 193 yet.
Okay.
So, but I mean, or it was like their story together, more or less. So like as things progressed, sometimes you'd have them split apart and do different stories. But for the most part, I always thought it was about both Rick and Carl.
Now, when I was reading this, and I read it only up to about where Negan jumped into it, and I quit. I was just kind of bored of it by that point.
It's the only part I liked.
It, to me, it just seemed like it was crazy because, like, you could never really get used to a cast. They would kill off people and...
So that's what I like. No one was safe.
Right. So, I mean, it took this long to wipe out Rick. So, I mean, I think that could have even been done earlier.
Yeah.
When people were more used to the idea of anybody could die at any time. And then, like, especially after you had Negan to pick it up.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was crazy. Like, you'd have, from issue one until, like, 105, you know, there were so many deaths, character deaths.
Right.
And then after that, it was a lull of crap. Like, you lost Ezekiel. That was about it of notability. Like, didn't, you never lost a main...
No, didn't Andrea die then, too?
Andrea died...
I thought it was after 100.
It may have been... Or made during?
Because she lasted a hell of a lot longer in the books than she did on the show.
No, she's a better character in the books, too.
Yeah, I know.
Super sniper.
Right.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know. They should have stopped, let Negan rule the world, stopped it, called it a day.
Well, anyway, if you're looking for that book, most of our stores are sold out. Some of them are not. We are limiting it to one per customer because it's crazy.
I imagine there'll be second prints.
I imagine there will be two. Also, that commemorative Death of Rick Grimes cover is pretty cool in person. So go check that out.
I thought it looked cheesy, but yeah, okay.
I thought it was good. So, cool. All right, so now let's talk about you guys haven't seen Spider-Man yet, the new one, right?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Cool.
It just came out yesterday?
Yeah, I think so.
And then you
I saw it last week on the screener. So
I must be nice living up in Pittsburgh. You get to see those sort of things. We don't have that down here in this neck of the woods.
Well, I mean,
Spider-Man. I'll wait for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's kind of how I thought everyone down here would have reacted. So it's okay. anyway, so I'm gonna give you some non-spoiler version of a review, and then we can talk about it spoiler full and just tell everybody when we do that. So my non-spoiler review is I really enjoyed it. I did not really enjoy the first one because I thought the suit was way too techy. Like, that was my biggest problem with that. And they kind of correct that in this a little.
The Stark suit with the kill mode and all the crazy thing. They had his own version of, like, Jarvis talking to
Karen.
I guess. Yeah, I could see that.
Basically, like, you have Mariah Hill and Nick Fury. They're trying to hunt down Spider-Man to help him with these giant elementals that keep showing up around the world that Mysterio just shows up and starts fighting. The Peter Parker and his class that all got snapped. When they came back from the snap, they all put them back in the class, like in the same grade. So apparently every single key person in the first movie from his class all got snapped.
Weren't there some that didn't, though?
There were a couple that didn't. And there's some jokes about it in there, and it's pretty cool. So they go to Europe on this trip, and as Fury's trying to get in touch with Spider-Man, he's like... he kind of keeps derailing the trip to make him go where he needs to help him fight these things. The Spider-Man story pretty much plays out how you would think a Spider-Man story is going to be. It's very teen drama. It's very, you know, it's very Spider-Man. I can't really say it any other way. It's a very Spider-Man story. I will say that Mysterio is... in my opinion, the best adaptation from comic to film villain we have ever had. Ever. Ever.
Better than Green Goblin. Defoe Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh. All right.
Better than Thanos?
Yeah. In my opinion, that's how I felt.
Well, definitely got to see that.
Blasphemy.
So for those of you who know what Mysterio is like, he was like in the comics, he was like a special effects guy and did a lot of illusion stuff. And there's a lot of illusion stuff in this thing where, like, he I don't want to get it too spoilery, but or high tech, but it's basically like holograms. He uses a lot of holograms, and like the hologram scenes are amazing. Like they are exactly what you would imagine Spider-Man going to fight Mysterio would be like. It was so good. So good. So, but there are two credit scenes. There's a mid one and an end one. I gave it like 4 out of 5 stars. It was really good.
That's cool.
So, and like I said, I'm not a Spider-Man fan. Like I did not really like Homecoming that much. There is another Ramon song in it.
Okay. See, I didn't have a problem with the other one. Well, I think I just really, really liked the Vulture in that.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. I really think that the villains are carrying the Spider-Man movies because everyone's so tired of the same Spider-Man story, and it is still the same Spider-Man story, but it's, you know, but you have these awesome villains that he has to fight, and they're so well done. Like Michael Keaton's Vulture was amazing.
Yeah, it's really hard to take that guy seriously, like the Vulture character seriously. And
but they did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Same with Mysterio. He's like a D-level villain, right?
Right, you got that fishbowl on the head. That's hard to take that seriously.
But everything looked great. Everything about him was exactly what I would have wanted. So, all right, so at this point, if you have not, if you don't want spoilers and you haven't seen the movie,
shut it down.
We will talk to you next time. For those of you who want to hear some spoilers, hang on.
Here we go.
All right. So where do you want me to start? Just
wherever you want to start.
Okay.
Man.
So,
you
want to this is the
credits?
So is Nick Fury Talos?
Yes.
You got it.
Yep.
Hulk 418, Hulk 419, go find him.
And Mariah Hill is Talos' wife.
Don't care about her. Just care about Talos.
Nick Fury is on a ship with a shitload of Skrulls in the middle of space.
He's on vacation.
He's on vacation. Right? Yeah, he's like he's on this in front of this screen that has like a beach, and he's like drinking drinking something, and he gets like the message that he has to come back, and he's just like, all right, guess we gotta come back. Who took my shoes? This
is hilarious. All right. Now, about that, do you think that this is all more of a plot and it's kind of like they abducted Fury, but
no.
With his
end? No, absolutely not. The way it played out, they did not abduct Fury. It was very much so Talos having to make a report to Fury to say, hey, we delivered that thing that you told us to, because they had to deliver the glasses from Tony to Peter. And the glasses actually have its own AI, and they are actually like this, the world protecting drones that he always wanted.
Okay.
It's called Edith, and it's like even dead. It's called Edith because it's even dead. I'm the hero.
Of course.
And the movie starts out with it's like Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, and it's like this giant like montage of Tony Stark. It's hilarious.
Oh my God.
And then like the Betty Brant and the kid that's her co-anchor on the school news are like talking about how everybody got snapped and they're back as snapped kids, and everyone,
is that what they call it? Snapped?
They call it blipped. Sorry, they call it blipped.
Oh my God.
So they call it blipped, and they're like, yeah, so instead of letting us be the age that we're supposed to for 5 years, we're all back where we're supposed to be, like, or where we were when we left off, but we have to restart the whole year. And they're all like mad about it. They were all going to Europe, but you see like Happy and Aunt May have like sort of a summer fling dating thing going on the whole movie. It's really interesting.
Dude, it's sort of like you see a little bit of that in a trailer too.
It's really funny because there's always like every time they're together and Peter's in the room, it's like the most awesomely awkward moments. And it's really funny, and I love John Favreau, so
yeah.
And Alyssa Milano. So who doesn't? And
Marissa Tomei,
sorry, yeah. And it's hilarious. Like, those scenes are just priceless. The scene that's in the trailer that's not in the movie is the passport one, where he's trying to get the passport.
Okay.
Like, for some reason, they just cut that out, which really didn't do anything for the plot.
Sometimes they cut things. Yeah. They have things in trailers that they just cut for the movie. I don't.
Right.
Because I remember when, what was it, Avengers, the Infinity War one, like, you saw the Hulk running in that, like, actually the Hulk.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he wasn't running in that battle. He was in the armor, his banner.
Right.
So, yeah, it's weird how that, they do that sometimes. But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so the Edith plot, the Edith is the main plot of this whole movie. So, the Mysterio that shows up gives this total line of bullshit to Mariah Hill and Fury about he's from a parallel universe and all these elementals destroyed his world and he's there. And here you find out that...
I figured that was going to happen.
So Mysterio worked for Tony Stark, and he was the guy that created... Do you remember at the beginning of Civil War where you see him, like, where it's young Tony Stark and his parents, like, in their house and they're leaving the night before he leaves? That technology is what he created.
Oh my god.
And Tony twisted it, and then he called it what did he call it? He called it like fart or burp or something. It was like a fart or a poop reference. So there was that, and then you find out that all these other dudes that work for Tony Stark are on his team, and they put together all this crazy plot to get Edith back, because they knew about Edith, and they were like, sure, we all bust our ass for Tony Stark forever. He gives the kid everything. And so they're the ones. One guy's like ahead of all these drones that make like the shit break when like the elementals punch and stuff.
Okay.
Another one's like in charge of the actual visual of the elemental. Like all the stuff, and one guy you see is like getting yelled at from like Obadiah Stane in Iron Man 1.
Oh shit!
Like it's like there's references to each of the movies, like a couple of different movies about different people in there, and you see, you actually like they do a cutscene from Civil War, and you see like in the mirror is Jake Gyllenhaal's background, like being all butthurt. But it's kind of cool because, like, so the first real Edith thing we get is there's this other guy who's trying to get with MJ on this tour, right? And Peter had met with Fury, told Fury, I don't want to do this. So Fury derailed his group from Venice to Prague. And when they stop in Prague, there's, like, this agent who's, like, this tall, black-suited blonde girl, and she's like, you, come here, and he, like, goes in this room with her, and he's like, what are you doing here? She's like, Fury told me you didn't want to be seen in your suit while you're doing this stuff, so I made you another one. Take off your clothes. So he's like, what? She's like, take off your clothes. So he takes off his pants, just his pants, and as he does that, the other dude who's trying to get with MJ comes in and starts taking pictures. And he's like, what are you doing? Stop doing that, blah, blah, blah. So he takes all these pictures, and then he puts Edith on. He's like, stop him from uploading those pictures. So Edith then sends an airstrike of drones. And he's like, no, don't do that.
Whoa.
It was all kinds of crazy. So they a plot twisty part happens where... Spider-Man in the black suit now that is not techie, which is why I said, you know, they kind of resolved that for the people that were mad about the techie suit.
Right.
That with Mysterio fought one of the elementals in Prague or whatever.
Question right. about those elementals. Okay, sure. Obviously they're like constructs or whatever of Mysterio. Do they ever call them like Molten Man or Hydro Man or make any kind of...
They just call them elementals. And there's a bunch of different ones. Like, the first one they talk about is, like, a cyclone with a face.
Okay.
And then they talk about... Or then there's the water one, and then they talk about the fire one, and the fire one's the one that ruined their whole world because he could, use the metal from like the actual Earth's core to destroy everything.
Oh, man.
And so Mysterio and him fight it off, and they're like in this bar. And the thing that definitely made me go, here's what the plot twist is they're sitting there in their outfits. Like Mysterio basically doesn't have the helmet on or the cape on, but he's got the green outfit, and Spider-Man's literally sitting in there with just no mask on, right? And they're just like having a drink, you know, and they're talking about stuff. And he's like, you know, Tony gave me these glasses, and the note said, "For the next Iron Man, I trust you." And he said, "Maybe that means I'm supposed to pick that guy. I think you should have these." And he gives them Edith. And he's like, "Oh well." At first, he's like, "No, man, I can't do that. Whatever." He's like, "No. You need to take these. Like, I don't want them." So he's like, "All right, cool." And then Spider-Man leaves, and after he leaves, like parts of the bar start like dematerializing, and you find out about the team, and they're all there. Like half the people in there were real, and they're all these old Stark people. And it was like, oh man, that was like, it was such a beautiful transition scene, but I so saw it kind of happening. I was like, there's no way anybody wouldn't be like, "Hey, you're Mysterio." You know, man. People are just like hologram people are milling around. But then with Edith, he makes this like supersized one with all the drones from the Edith drone. And then that's the big showdown at the end. And Spider-Man ends up getting in touch with Happy again. And Happy picks him up in the Stark Jet. And then in the back of the Stark Jet, there's basically a machine that makes whatever spider suit he wants. So he's like, "All right, I want this and I want this." And he's basically like at the McDonald's push menu, like like hitting all these options. Suit. Right, exactly. And so it makes the whole thing out, and he puts it on, and you know, you see the end of the thing. But the whole time, Mysterio is filming everything. So
here comes
the one guy, right? So one of his team takes the last part of it where he takes Edith back. And when Edith says, like, "Do you want to like turn off all hostile, blah, 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 blah." He's like, "Yes, confirm all." And then all the drones shut down. But then in the mid-credit scene is Spider-Man taking MJ for like a
swing around
the city, and she's freaking out. She's like, "I'm never doing that again."
Yeah.
And as he puts her down, he like gets up on like this thing, and you see a screen come on. It's like Times Square. As big screen comes on, it's the Daily Bugle.
Yes.
And who do you see but J. Jonah Jameson? And it's J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
And he's young. He's got like a black mustache and dark hair. And he's all rah, 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 Spider-Man, rah, rah, rah. And he's like, "Watch this video." And it's Mysterio's people tweaked that video to make it where Spider-Man was the one who turned on all the drones to kill everybody. And then he's like, and then Mysterio at the end reveals who he is to the world. Like, he reveals Spider-Man's secret identity, and then it cuts, and then it plays more music, and then you have the scene with like where you find out that Ryan Hill and Nick Fury are Skrulls, and it was really good, really, really good.
Now this is supposed to be like the last Spider-Man movie on that contract, so
I thought there were three.
You got to count the Avengers stuff.
Really?
Yeah, you got to count the Avengers movie. Oh, and wow. Stuff. So, I mean, hopefully they come up with a new contract. I can't imagine them not. You know, throw Disney money at them. And
all those brand new day issues, though, man, they're gonna go through the roof.
Yeah,
all you spec guys. So I'm just curious. So that was the question we had afterwards. I was talking to a bunch of nerds. Obviously, was do we think they're gonna tie it in with Doctor Strange and we'll do his end like they did in what, Civil War, I think. Or are they going to do like the brand new day one where they used Mephisto and use that to bring in like Ghost Rider or Moon Knight or somebody like on that end? And that would be the villain for that movie.
And you're not thinking a secret invasion sort of route is coming, or
I don't think so. Because the way that the Skrulls dealt with talking to Fury, it definitely sounded more like there were like they were just kind of in partner still.
Okay,
like it wasn't really that. There's a possibility there are Skrulls in the world, but it does not. It wasn't like invasion style. But they were talking at some point about Kree sleeper cells. So I don't know if that meant actual like that leads me to believe that we're going to see more of the Kree Skrull war on Earth happen, or they were talking about Inhumans, which they now have back. So, right.
I could do without the Inhumans again. They had their shot at that, and that TV show was.
I enjoyed it for what it was, but I mean, it was, you know, I expected pretty much what I got because I was like, oh, you're going to be on ABC. This is what I'm going to get. And that's pretty much what we did.
My main problem with it is, like, right off the rip on that, they just neutered everybody. Like, they took away Medusa's hair and Karnak's ability and all that other stuff and just kind of made them normal dudes sort of to bumble around and find each other and do their thing. So that's not what I wanted to see in Inhumans.
I understand that end, but it pretty much was what I expected.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I would not rather have seen that because I would have loved to have seen that, and I would have loved to have seen more Lockjaw because I obviously love Lockjaw.
Right.
But that's pretty much what it is. Any other questions about Spider-Man?
Because Bo is over here just does not care at all.
That is one movie I do not care about.
I'll tell you what, man. Like the scenes where like he's in Mysterio is like holograms. They are absolutely insane. Like so crazy. It is worth seeing that movie for those scenes.
I don't like the guy that plays Spider-Man.
You don't like Tom Holland?
No,
I think he's all right, but.
He's growing on me, but I'm not.
My thing with him is, he's a lot like Ultimate Spider-Man. He's a kid, like he really is. He's not like Spider-Man. He's like
Spider-Teen,
Spider-Kid, Spider-Boy, Spider-Teen.
He needs to be a little bit older, Peter Parker, and then maybe grab my attention.
Yeah,
but see, that's the appeal to some people is that he's still the high school Peter Parker that people grew up with.
True. But these Marvel movies, they continuously, even with the last Endgame, they have continuously went down, 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 downhill for me. They have so much potential. They need to revamp everything, redo the Infinity War appropriately with Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, Thanos. Redo it appropriately so we can get an accurate representation and leave all the political Captain Marvel, this kind of crap, all out of it and redo it. I have not enjoyed a Marvel movie since Infinity Wars. That was the last good one. Every other one of them I can...
So you didn't like three movies?
I didn't like the only one, and I found...
Because there were only three in between Infinity War and now.
No. There hasn't been anything good. I mean, the Thor movie was fun. That was funny
before
to me.
Infinity War.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just going back a little bit. But they've dropped the ball, like, in every ounce of it. They had a great thing, and they are crumbling, in my opinion. And this, them re-releasing this Endgame to try to beat Avatar...
That's a joke.
...is a joke that Avatar is a far superior product than that Endgame movie will ever be.
I'm not going to go that far, but I will say that I didn't really dig Endgame. I mean, I thought it fell flat and didn't live up to the hype.
Garbage.
Infinity War was far superior to that movie. Over 3 hours for that. They really could have put some more on the editing room floor.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I did really enjoy Endgame. I enjoyed Endgame more than I enjoyed Avatar.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just it wasn't as good as...
It was a cobbled mess. Typically, a lot of the stuff that people say about the DC movies, you know, in the past, it was a cobbled, thrown-together mess where they tried to get everybody in there for PC choices and make sure everybody's happy, this and that, and it turned into a friggin' disaster.
See, I don't see that at all. I think this was more of a send-off movie to the original cast, the original Avengers cast, because, like, the first half of the movie is all about them.
Right.
And then the very end of the movie is about them, and they even go back to those previous movies in the time travel.
And they should have brought all those people that were blinked. They should have brought them back. The movie was 17 hours long. You bring them back for the last 20 minutes of the movie. It was a freaking joke. Bring them back, bring all them characters.
Yeah, but if all those
sooner.
Characters, if half of those characters are the ones you have issues with because they're bringing more of a PC environment to it,
Captain
how
Marvel,
did that,
that's
how did
another,
that,
Captain Marvel.
I don't understand how that would, but whatever. So how would that not be something you'd actually more prefer? That's I like.
I just want
it's
whole,
just weird.
Let's get the to whole me. Group together. It was just a.
Well, you wanted to see the new guard play a little bit more with the old guard.
Yes.
Because we got the old guard and it was a send off, like you said. Yeah.
I really feel this was just a send off to, like, it was the real conclusion to the original Avengers movie, in my opinion.
The people that were snapped away, we'll see them again. They just, you know, you won't see them interacting with Tony Stark or anything like that. Right. So.
Tony Stark went out like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
Captain America. Never liked any of those movies. I know that's blasphemy.
Wow.
People, I didn't. Don't like
Winter Soldier. You didn't like Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier.
He went out like a soft old man.
The best.
He went out like Marvel a soft movie. Old man. I'm sorry.
Ugh.
For as tough and everybody thinks he is, man, softed it out.
I just think that I think they just kind of, like I said, I think it's a great send off movie to all those guys, but there are still things that don't. Can't make sense in the way that they did other things, like things that happen in Winter Soldier and Civil War can't really make as much sense now if Cap ended up being with Peggy Carter.
Agent 13, like,
right,
what, like they were trying to get that going right together for, like, you know, Civil War right and all that stuff, and that's even Sears,
right? Yeah, exactly. Like where is Sharon the whole time, you know? Oh, she's in the hospital because she's on a hospital show. That's why. But there were things about that made me kind of like, what? Like, that is a... And I wish that Bucky would have gotten the shield only because of comic continuity. And I like Bucky better as a character than Falcon.
Right.
I understand it. I'm cool. I don't really care. I was totally cool with Black Widow just being gone forever because I never really liked her character.
You look at this 5-10 years ago, say they would have just waited until that merger, till they got to cut the characters.
But I don't think they could have.
That money hungry.
I don't think that they would have had the money to do the merger had it not been for the movies they had already been putting out.
Then they need to admit they suck. Let's do it right.
Yeah, but that's your opinion that they right suck.
They do. I mean, they do. You can't have an infinity. You cannot
there's
with
millions
Adam Warlock
and millions
and
of
Silver
people that
Surfer
with you.
That, right. The movie people? Because they don't count in my world.
No.
I have read those comics, and I am disagreeing with you.
Why? What? You can't have those movies without Silver Surfer and Adam Warlock, two of the main people. You cannot do these movies with justice.
Would it have been better with them? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And the Fantastic Four.
Right.
And the Fantastic, yeah.
Like, I don't really care if they had the X-Men in that or not.
Yeah,
I mean,
me either.
They were kind of just like
they were. Yeah, they really were. Yes. Yeah.
But no, I mean, they did as well as they could with what they had to work with.
Agreed.
They pushed it too fast.
I don't
they
think
did
they
not
did
need to push it that fast.
I think they needed to do this in order to set up a way for the Fox properties to come into this universe. Because in the middle of this movie, yes and no, but in the middle of the movie, when Hulk is talking to an Ancient One about the different kinds of time streams and the different realities that the multiverse creates, like, I think we're going to see that this changed the universe to be a multiverse. To absorb
think his snap maybe brought in mutants and all that stuff.
I think it opened the door to that possibility to where we're going to see that existing more. Yes.
All right.
Or it's going to open a door to where maybe Doctor Strange opens some portal and they all go through it and they all end up in that same, it's a parallel universe where all of the stuff that they did was the same, except they had help from all these other people. And then it's just there. That's what I would love to see in some way. Cause I think that would be the easiest way to do it.
Now I'm with you, Bo, on I would have liked to see Adam Warlock and Surfer
I'm not denying that either.
Stuff.
And Adam Warlock was there. They could have at least used him.
Right.
And they chose not to. Whoever the genius was behind that, You're a fool.
That may have had some things to do with the James Gunn thing. Not sure.
Yeah.
That's just
I'm wondering if that was speculation, already in progress for Guardians 3. Like that might be the story already.
Maybe had to go to plan B or something like that. I don't know. But to say they need to redo that story again, to be honest, we've seen it now. Like that is one of the most iconic stories in Marvel Universe, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah,
100%.
Do I want to see it again anytime soon? No, there's plenty of other stories I'd rather see at this point. Like, I would be fine with a Secret Invasion.
Me too.
I would be fine. I don't know how in the hell they would do a Secret Wars with, like, the Beyonder and all that stuff, but I mean...
Yeah, well, because, like, a lot of the main characters don't exist as characters anymore.
Right. Yeah. But... Hell, I'd like to see that even.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely on board with that. Although, like, I thought it was cool that, like, when everything fell on Hulk and he had the like, he basically had to hold up all that rock.
Yeah, it was kind of a callback to Secret Wars.
I thought that was cool.
I'd like to see him do an Avengers versus X-Men. Would be kind of a cool little concept.
I imagine that's coming down the line.
An original Sin storyline would be nice.
Not sure how many people actually liked that story. I did.
I liked the main part of the story,
right?
But I didn't like any of the tie-ins. Same with Secret Empire. I liked the main story. I didn't like the tie-ins at all. And what was the other one? It was a Thor one. It was supposed to be a Thor mini, and then they spread it out.
Blood and Thunder.
No. Oh God. Wow, man.
Another big Thor story.
It was like they all got a bunch of hammers. There were a bunch of extra hammers.
The Siege?
Siege. Oh man. Like Juggernaut had a freaking hammer and he walked across the Grand Canyon and then Cyclops blew another canyon and he just kept walking and magic let him do it because nothing can stop the Juggernaut. He just kept walking and the hammer was magic and it let him do it.
Wasn't that something about fear?
Fear itself. That was it. Yeah. I thought that was I think that would just be a good Thor movie in general.
Right.
But
yeah, like I can't see that being like a grand arc that takes up three phases or anything like that. It's cool, maybe one phase. Same thing with like Secret Invasion, where to me, because I liked it a lot, it seemed like a bigger story than it really was. I could only see that really taking up.
I enjoyed Secret Invasion.
One phase.
I didn't care for it. Wasn't my thing.
I think that was the first Marvel crossover that I actually really enjoyed in a long time.
I like because
I didn't really like Civil War as much as everybody else did.
I also like the follow-up, the Dark Reign stuff that happened.
Dark Reign
that
was really cool.
Yeah, I really liked
Siege, all the way through Siege, actually was I thought pretty good. And then like the Heroes Reborn stuff, I was like, man, whatever. Or Heroes Return, Heroes Reborn, one of the two.
I think that happened before that because all that Heroes
Reborn. It was post Siege.
Xavier Magneto dude, I can't remember his name either. That kind of killed all of them or put all of them in a pocket universe or some shit like that.
Well, anyway, we're out of time anyway. So
yeah, this one ran a little bit long.
Yeah,
we wanted it to be a short one.
Yeah,
and
my bad.
We are still talking about movies and stuff. We were talking about movies a lot. We should like have another different podcast where we just talk about nerd movies.
We'll think about it.
But I was like, nah.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
Yeah, I watched Battle Angel Alita and I loved it.
I haven't seen
highly
it.
Recommend.
I heard it was really
highly
good.
Recommend.
It was good. It was
awesome.
It was really good.
Yeah, I heard it was good. So.
And I guarantee they won't make a second one, and damn them for that.
Why wouldn't they make a second one? They made a ton of money.
Who knows? As long
as the
Edward
one that did
Norton's
make a ton of money was Ghost in
the
Shell did not make a ton of money.
Yeah, but I can see why.
And I heard that was really bad.
Yeah, it's about as bad as Endgame.
Well, but they also didn't have like the Chinese market to help them out there. Like that's a whole new thing we got with movies now. Like movies that you think will never stand a chance to have a sequel, like The Meg, for instance. If it was just American movie, that's it. You're never seeing another giant shark movie again. But in China,
it blew up.
Gangbusters.
Yeah,
so
because it was like kaiju style shark.
We are going to get to see another Meg movie, and yes, me and sharks, man.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to us ramble for an hour. I am John.
I'm TJ.
And Bo.
And thanks for listening to the Toddcast. Catch you later.